This week on Two News, we're talking to you, William Quitter Gauthier. Yeah, that's right. We heard what you said about how you don't want to be a Flyer anymore. How you don't want to play in Philly. But you know what? You don't ghost an American legend like Johnny LeClair. You don't ghost a three-time cup champion like Patrick Sharp. Yeah. You don't not answer the phone when Mr. Playoff Danny Briere comes a-calling. Oh, you don't want to talk to them. Yeah, that just doesn't sit right. I think you're nothing but a baby, William Quitter. I heard what you said, but I swallowed it anyway. You know why? Because we all know the cream rises to the top, but the sediment sinks to the bottom. Yeah, that's right. And when you come back as a lame duck, you better not whiff on that one-timer. Yeah, you better not run away from that puck. You better not miss that check on the wall. Oh, wait. That won't happen because you don't do that. Yeah. You better not mess up because when you inevitably do, the boos and the howls will rain down from the masses to remind you what a hockey town looks like, yeah. And you will rue the day you messed with Jonesy and company. Yeah! Owen, we'll talk about some other stuff, too. Start the music. Dig it! Unjustifiably in a position we'd rather not be in.
Yeah, all right, that's enough of that. Two noobs talking, episode 170, excuse me.
Yes.
Two.
Nice.
Love it.
And here, as always, you still got...
Other way.
Okay, that is Junk Holland John Tracy.
Oh, okay.
And that's Mater D Matt Craig. I am middle. I am steaming Steve Murray.
We're well, trying to be steaming, right? Because it is brutally cold outside. I don't know how.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, it was. I went out this morning. It was a little windy, a little chilly. John apparently has got some really weird weather down in Texas. Why don't you go off on that?
I don't even want to because I don't want it to stick around. I'm just huddled in the corner here hoping it leaves.
Little do you know that those red LEDs behind you actually give off heat, too. Yay. So, not really. Actually, LEDs are quite cool.
There you go. Mm.
Matt, you're surviving, yes?
Yeah, trying to. Oh, my gosh, it's too brutally cold out there. But doing well, guys. But, yeah, boy, I cannot wait to ask you the question and your reaction to my mini rant as of later. Don't want to spoil it, but...
Then don't.
I'll try not to.
He wants to. That's why he's bringing it up now.
No, but hopefully all of you are doing well. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, hell, why don't we get into it? W Energy Drinks. They, they sponsor stuff, including the fun fact, and it's not really an over 40 rant. I don't know. Matt's got a question.
Mini rant slash question. Yeah. There you go.
Whatever. Okay. Well, visit dubby.gg. That's dubby.gg, as in tubby. Enter the promo code 2NoobsTalking, TOONOO, talking. Get 10% off your order. Matt will deliver it personally with a smile and a slap to the back of the knee.
Bam.
And they're very limited on their starter packs, which is their shaker and their whatever flavor you pick. But they do have more in stock, so check it out.
There you go.
Oh, John actually knows something. Yeah, somebody did some research.
I get emails. I figured I would read them and regurgitate them.
There you go.
I was curious if you had actually ordered a starter pack. I just were found to be upset.
I like their logo a lot, so I need to get one of their drinks so when I'm at work I can not use those water bottles that are killing us all, like Matt likes to say.
When you have seven of them in the house, yeah. I'm going to get killed by water bottles, guys. It's not that long before I'm going to get buried under an avalanche of these things. It's crazy.
Hilarious.
I thought John was actually referring to the magnesium sulfates.
That too.
Which so quick story. I took my son to the Flyers Pitt Penguins game, which we will be getting into shortly in topic one.
Yeah.
Not really the game, but what happened during the game. We go get grabbed a couple slices of pizza, and I said, oh, just, you know, I'll get a couple bottles of water. Nothing. They were Dasani bottled water.
Yep. Oh, boy.
And as I'm paying for it, he goes, you forgot about the magnesium sulfate. Damn it.
Gee, thanks.
It doesn't matter at this point, kid. Let's go on to the game.
Insides are glowing. It's all good. It's all good. All right, John, why don't you fun fact us?
All right. As soon as my phone works. There we go. Time for the fun
fact. There
you go. Ooh. A wood frog species in Alaska is known to be able to hold its urine for up to 8 months. I wish I had.
I would love that.
Yeah, I wish I had that. But more importantly, the holding of the urine helps to keep it alive while it's hibernating.
Oh, because it keeps it warm, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Probably. So it
doesn't that would be things, yeah.
But I found that very interesting. So, you know, go wood frog.
I don't know. All that pressure, though. You know what I mean? Like, you're holding that for 8 months. That's brutal.
Yeah. I get upset when I got to hold it for a half an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I'd cry like a baby. Oh, my God. He's got to hold it for 8 months like that.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
Well, look,
they didn't specify after the age of 50. Is it less or more? They didn't specify that. So
that's true.
They didn't go that deep.
He's got to get up three times of hibernation to pee now. You know, it's just...
exactly. Oh my gosh, too funny.
Yeah, cause I don't quite want to know where you get this information from. That's a little bit weird. Well, but that's fine.
That's the fun fact generator for you, Steve. It's exactly. Really amazing. There you go.
And who studies this to know that frogs hold their pee for 8 months? I don't want to be that scientist.
That I don't know, but I do cross-reference everything that comes across the screen with at least some kind of scientific article, so I'm not just spewing garbage.
Good man.
I'm not down to denying that it's not a fact. I'm just saying there's a scientist out there whose career is to study the urination habits of tree frogs in Alaska.
And I will duel you with there are people that actually got degrees that go and study politicians in Washington, D.C. So who is winning and who isn't?
This is also fair. I'm not sure which job I would prefer.
Exactly.
They're similar.
Tree frog. Tree frog by far. Tree frog for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Mr. Matt.
All right.
You've been teasing us all week with this question, so
yeah,
let's have it.
So this interesting question popped into my feed over the last week, gentlemen, and I would love to get your thoughts.
Okay.
What word or phrase instantly makes you roll your eyes? Makes you go, oh, God. Word or phrase that instantly makes you roll your eyes.
Yeah.
And I will begin.
Go ahead.
Control your own narrative. Hate it. Hate it.
I thought it was going to be work-life balance for you.
Well, that too. So that's number two. Yeah, go on.
That instantly makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah. I just found it fascinating. Someone responded, my truth, as opposed to the truth. You're saying, it's my truth. It's not narrative. You know, that kind of a deal.
There are so many buzzwords out there.
Yeah.
That's
true.
This is why I try
to pick one.
I try to stay so far away from the in crowd, or I don't want to know.
I will refer you back to whatever episode it was when we were doing mid-show commercials. And I did the one where I just string together a bunch of LinkedIn buzzwords.
That was one of the
nonsensically.
It was one of the best performances ever.
Those words would make me roll my eyes.
There you go.
Things of that, you know, the circle back to synergies and crap like that. Is what really, you know.
Or how about the phrase circle back? Well, I'm going to circle back with you. Well, for God's sakes, will you please stop?
I will pull for my grandmother. I hate when someone says I can't.
Yeah.
It drives me
immediate
nuts.
Turn off.
My grandmother used to say all the time, saying I can't means you don't want to. And it always stuck with me in my, like I can't learn this or I can't do this. And like, we could do anything. It's just a matter of how much we're willing to sacrifice to do it.
Yeah, good point. No, that's good.
All right. So if I said, flap your arms and fly like a bird, you would not respond that you can't, because you'd be willing to sacrifice the density of your bones.
I would try.
As a soil chicken eagle.
Only if it was for this show or you personally just wanting to see something like that. I wouldn't just do it because you said it. Like, there would have to be some, we would need some.
Oh, that's great.
You need motivation. I get it. Yeah, I get it.
I don't just act for fun.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I just thought it was a really good question.
It's a good question, but there's so much that I could probably think of. And because of that, it all crowds into my head and I can't pick one.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's tough.
Which is a shame, too, because it's like, oh my gosh, you don't want just the one. But it was interesting to see that kind of, you know, that kind of a question really kind of make me think, like, okay, what's the most annoying phrase? And yeah, work-life balance was definitely one of them.
Oh, that definitely is one.
I mean, that's got to be the most bandied about freeze.
He's got one.
It drives me nuts.
Go for it.
It drives me nuts.
Bring it.
Empowering.
Yes.
That word is so overused. It drives me up the wall.
Oh, Steve. It's really empowering you for you to.
Well, it's very empowering me to. It's very empowering to me to be able to dress like Macho Man and come on the program and do the voice
with a macho shirt. Right?
Exactly.
It's such an overused word.
I agree.
And term, and it drives me up a wall.
I've got one to add on to this, Matt. What is the sports phrase that drives you nuts?
Wow.
There are so many.
Yeah. Gosh. Oh, man. The sports phrase that drives you crazy.
What's the one they've overused? To you, the one they've overused. Either ESPN or whatever.
Gosh.
I'd have to think
there
about that.
There are so many. That's the thing. There are a lot. John, there's like so many buzzwords that you hear. It's just nothing but sound bites. And it's like,
he's got a motor.
Yeah. That one drives me nuts. I hate the phrase of goat because everybody seems to be a goat
at
this
uses
point.
That.
Like,
right.
Like I'm done. Like we haven't even started the season yet. And we've got 17 goats. Like, are we all Hall of Famers? Why are we even playing at that point?
I got one for you. And they use this all the time. Vintage. Oh, this is vintage.
Oh, dude. They use that in wrestling. They use that in wrestling, too. And it ruins every time an older wrestler is wrestling.
So over that. That one word, vintage.
Yeah.
Get it out of the lexicon right now. The vintage is for wine only. That's it. I don't want to hear anything about...
Let me give you a point. It's for other things, but it's not for Randy Orton, who is 38 years old and still wrestling professionally. You don't have to say, oh, that's vintage Randy Orton. Dude's only been around for 21 years. Like, that'd be vintage Bruno Sammartino. It would be vintage Randy
vintage
Orton.
Jerry Rice, or that's vintage Joe Montana. It's like, will you please stop? Just shut the hell up. Where that's vintage Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has only been in the league 6 years. He's going to be around
and what
for
is,
a while.
What is his vintage? Worm balls to people that they can't catch him? Like, where he only throws to Travis Kelce? Vintage Mahomes. Look, Kelsey's wide open again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was a vintage play by Travis Kelce, who rallied back to Kadarius Toney, who, by the way, was offsides.
Who's not vintage because he's younger than his brother.
be more, that would be more like, that would be better if they use, oh, that's vintage Kadarius Toney lining up off sides, costing his team the game.
That is vintage because he's so, he's.
Right?
Yes.
The other day. Yeah.
Because it's meant to be derisive at that
point. Yes.
Yeah. So it's good.
Real quick, the quick rant that I've got. Kyle Brandt, this one is for you there, pal. Good morning, football host. Will you please stop trying to sell me on Peacock? Because when you put the face of the National Football League on a paid subscription service for a playoff game, not free television, you had to put a paywall in front of people in order to watch a playoff game featuring the top quarterback, the spokesman of the National Football League, and Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, pal.
Gotta hope that's not
true. I ain't buying it. I know, but I ain't buying it. And it's only going to be a matter of time before the Super Bowl is on Peacock. Mark it down. Mark it down. Next 5 years, you'll probably see on Peacock.
Watching. PPV.
I won't be watching.
PPV.
Uh-huh. Look, on the plus side.
Yes.
On the plus side, having it on Peacock prevented many people from having to see Andy Reid's frozen mustache burgers.
Yeah, that is. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I have.
So on the plus side, you protected many people from it.
I have a stash with him, and I go out in the cold. Yo, Andy, wipe your nose. It's not hard. Like, I have a stash similar to you, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Please. Happen. Your nose runs. Just have a napkin and just take it off. It'll be fine, bro. It'll be fine.
You know, exactly.
Get a portable hair dryer. You know, blow it off.
Maybe Mahomes will do it. He'll do anything for money.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
Who are the chefs? Anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Time for the real over 40 rant.
Oh, yes.
Topic one.
When William.
William. Quitter Gauthier.
Yeah.
So if you are a fan of Two Noobs and you've tuned into any of our shows where we've discussed the Flyers and their future, you may have heard the name Quitter Gauthier mentioned several times on this podcast. He being the Flyers' fifth overall draft pick of 2022. Currently playing at Boston College. Recently won a gold medal with the United States at the World Junior Championships held in Sweden. Well, despite saying on draft day that he was born to be a Flyer, can't wait to wear the colors, had a change of heart somewhere along the line.
Aww.
And decided while I was attending, well, no, he didn't decide while I was attending. He decided that he no longer wanted to play for the team. And so while I was attending the Pittsburgh Flyers game last Monday night, received the unpleasant news, which I at first thought was a joke. I was looking for the evil gritty Twitter handle or something.
Yeah.
Such thing where it said the Flyers traded Quitter Gauthier. Unfortunately, it was from a reputable source that I noticed this had occurred and was shocked to find out that Quitter Gauthier was traded to the Anaheim Ducks for defenseman Jamie Drysdale and a second round 2025 pick, I believe.
That would be correct.
And before I get the initial reactions, I will just have some quotes from Danny Briere's press conference, which took place in the first intermission of said Flyers-Penguins game. Briere said it was a long time coming. It's been going on for a while. We tried to give him space. We tried to get in touch with him many times. He would not communicate. So at some point, we had to make a decision, and we thought with what had happened just a few days ago, meaning winning the World Junior title, this was probably the time to get the highest value. We were hoping that at some point he would change his mind. He had already changed his mind. He looked at us at the draft and told us he was built to be a Flyer, wanted to be a Flyer, and then a few months later told us he didn't want to be a Flyer, didn't want to play for the Flyers. So in our mind, at first we said we have to protect him because if he changes his mind again, it's going to be tough for him to put the uniform on. But when we realized he refused to talk to us now, it's been months and he didn't want to be a Flyer, didn't want to be in Philadelphia. It was time to make it happen. And I guess I'll give you Keith Jones, too, who spoke at the second intermission with Jim Jackson and Brian Boucher. If you don't want to be a Flyer, you're not going to be a Flyer. He basically said the value for Gauthier was never going to be higher than it was. And this this was an interesting thing we can get into as well. This was only going to go down if word got out. He thanked the GMs and presidents around the league who knew about this in keeping it private while the trade was worked out, which was quite amazing because I don't think anyone knew this was coming before it actually did.
No.
Matt, you actually are in Philadelphia. Okay. Yeah. What was your initial reaction upon hearing the news?
Definitely a shock for sure. Never saw it coming. Thought this guy was going to be a part of the franchise cornerstone piece. You know, you're pairing him with Michkov, the Russian born player who I'm still trying to get out of Russia, guys. Just so you know, I'm just really working hard on that. Shock. Didn't realize this was happening, but boy, did I love the transparency by Briere and Jones. If you have a guy that doesn't want to be a part of the organization, get him out. You don't need that kind of cancer hiding around in your locker room, especially the way the guys are playing right now. The last thing you want to do is something like that. So, and to get a young defenseman, 21 years old, who can skate, who has a pretty good shot, and it's just very well, plays extremely well, already is paying pretty good dividends. Had a breakup of a partial breakaway in Minnesota the other night. Had a power play assist on his debut game against Montreal. I mean, the kid is already starting to prove that he's more than capable. Was a very popular player when he played for the Anaheim Ducks. So, yeah, it was definitely a shock. But at the same time, it's kind of like the immediate returns have been great. And I think we're going to be just fine with this guy quarterbacking the power play. He's already like miles ahead of where Ivan Provorov was, just in terms of skating ability. I love the kid already. So, yeah, that would be my initial reaction.
John, similarly, you're the outsider looking in here.
I was.
You probably didn't hear it when we did, but
Like Matt, I kind of expected him to fall into the fray eventually, and like, oh, cool, we got another talented player. I mean, look at his Boston College numbers; his freshman year were great. Kid can play. I did do after we talked about this in pre-production. I did kind of deep dive and kind of tried to find him a couple of times in interviews. I did see him earlier this year on a podcast called Empty Net. Yeah, it's an Empty Netters podcast. It's out of Boston.
Okay.
And this was prior to him being traded. This is when he decided to go back for his second season. He seemed like a kid that was very indecisive, but he also seemed like a kid that wanted to win. And wanted to win now. So maybe that had something to do with it. He did say something very interesting.
That's bad news for Anaheim.
Yeah, he said something very interesting in an interview. I found it very narcissistic the way he said it. He said, it would make more sense for me to go back to Boston College with all the talent that's coming in, because maybe I can win a national title and turn pro at the same time. Turning that, I felt like he turned that spotlight like right on him, like I'm gonna be like the guy. Like there's not, and in Philly reason. He's not gonna be the guy in Philly, and that I think that was his problem. That I personally think that's his problem, because when Torts is your coach, you don't give a shit about that. So I think I feel that's the reason our head coach is the reason that he didn't want to play here.
I know Riley Cote on Nasty Knuckles podcast kind of speculated that Gauthier wanted to turn pro for maybe 16, 17 games after he was drafted. So I think he was drafted in 22. So that would have been at the end of the 22-23 22-23 season, I should say.
Yeah.
But the Flyers couldn't make it work because they didn't have enough cap space in order to get him onto the roster.
You for 17 games?
Heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard that, but I think that's since been shot down. I think by all sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
Briere, I believe, said
they did.
That it was
they
his
did
decision.
Say that they had the cap. They were willing to make the cap space, but he didn't work it out. They were willing to work it out.
Yeah. So that's probably been dispelled at this point.
Okay.
But that's an interesting thing you found there, John.
Yeah.
I have to say, Chris Therrien on the what's it called?
Trying to think.
The podcast he's on with Russ Joy and Anthony Sanfilippo.
Oh, there's so many.
And they do.
I love Chris Therrien though.
Yeah, well, so Chris Therrien, to his credit, has been actually criticizing Gauthier previous to the trade as a guy who is not willing to do the dirty work in the corners, not willing to get his hands dirty to make plays. You know, he just relies primarily on his shot. His quote was something to the effect of, he could go into a corner with 12 eggs in his pocket, and he's going to come out with 12 eggs.
Yeah. Enough said.
Sounds about right.
Enough said, sir. Understand.
I mean, and Therrien's point was, the superstar players are willing to do that. Yeah. As much as I hate his guts and I shit on him all the time, Sidney Crosby is a guy who's willing to get into the corners and muck for that puck to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably the best player in the NHL. So for him to do that, and for a guy like Gauthier to, no, I don't want to do that. That
pretty boy,
that speaks a lot.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we're obviously all pissed off he didn't want to play here.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot, particularly with college players.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember Jimmy Vesey from a few years ago, didn't want to play in Nashville. He ended up with the Rangers, and I hoped his career would go in the toilet, and it kind of has. He hasn't really done shit since he turned pro. But
thank God.
But it happens. But I think the thing that pissed us off the most was this guy ghosting.
Yeah.
The organization.
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Like John LeClair, who's won a Stanley Cup, is one of the greatest American-born players of all time.
Yeah.
I think he was the first one to have three consecutive 50-goal seasons. And Patrick Sharp, who won three Stanley Cups as a top-line player with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
They go up to Boston College to meet with Gauthier, sends the coach out to tell him he won't meet. And then Briere and Jones and I think LeClaire all go over to Sweden during the World Junior Championships.
That one killed
Won't be with them.
Yeah.
Won't be with them.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Traveled across the globe.
Yeah.
Won't be with them.
Bizarre.
Traveled across the world to meet with this guy. Wouldn't even give him the time of day.
That's the thing that bothered me the most is whatever his reason for not wanting to play, he would not explain it to the team.
Just
still
had
hasn't.
The balls to say why. Just had the balls to say, hey, okay, I'm done with you. You tried to make it work in terms of the cap for me to play. Was it going to happen? Fine, you know, but whether or not that was actually told or not to him or not, we don't know. We're only speculating. But crying out loud, guys, this is ridiculous. I completely agree with you, Steve. I mean, that, especially when you have your top brass coming over here saying, hey, can you at least give us like 15 minutes to talk? And he's not even doing that. Get rid of him. I have no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with how the Flyers handled it, too. And the fact that they went about it in the way that they did, where no one knew about it, I think it's a credit to that organization, to be perfectly
absolutely.
Honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the respect that guys like Briere and Jones have across the league.
Yeah.
When they're talking to GMs and presidents, they won't go behind their back and leak it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so where did I want to go with this?
By the way, Snow the Goalie is the name of the podcast.
Snow the Goalie, that's it. That's the one. I can't believe I brain farted on it.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, Snow the Goalie.
That's what I'm here.
Yeah. This is what I wanted to say. This isn't like you work for Macy's as a sales rep and you need a day off and you don't want to tell them why you need the day off because you want to interview somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. This is an organization that has spent significant draft capital on you. The number 5 overall pick.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
It affects not only Gauthier's future, but the future of the team who was relying on, and other players who are trying to win in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
The entire organization and you don't have the guts to explain why you don't want to be here, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
And if he saw some problem under the prior regime with Chuck Fletcher, he obviously hasn't been paying enough attention to the vibes that this team has gotten,
I think,
since Breer and Jonesy took over.
I think it's the flip side with him. I think it's the exact opposite. I think he was fine with the Fletcher and the BS and the I'll get paid money, I'll be the superstar. Look at me, look at me, look at me. As soon as Fletcher gets fired, Torts gets hired, people are getting benched.
No, Torts was already the coach.
Okay, well, Torts is already coach, but people are getting benched. People are getting put in line. People are getting refigured out, ripping iPads away from people. Like, good structure has actually happened. All of a sudden, this dude is like, I don't know if I want to go there. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
It seems like it kind of unfolded that this team is going to be a valuable team. He doesn't want to be on a team. He wants a team to be there so he can play on. Yeah. He's one of those players. Yeah,
it's kind of like what we saw the World Juniors, guys. It was all about Cutter Gauthier than it was...
Quitter Gauthier.
Yeah, than it was Quitter. Team USA. Really, I mean, that's what it was all about. Yeah, the most points, obviously, but everything was more about him.
He's a good player.
Denying his talent, of course.
Not at all.
At the same time,
we're pissed off.
Yeah, no, he's a good player, but yeah, I think his attitude is not good at all. Just that... Blurb I read earlier on that podcast, it just turned me off completely. He just wants to turn the spotlight on himself, and it was all about that. It was all about
one other thing. Oh, go ahead, Johnny.
No, it's just all about promoting his value. He didn't want to play for the Flyers yet because he didn't have enough value, because even what he said, the Boston College team didn't win enough games his freshman year. So he wants to go back his second year to win more games to turn pro. Like, he literally he's trying to play the money train. He's trying to play, I'm going to set myself up for a perfect situation to where I go, I sit out, I get more money. He was going to play it, and I guarantee you his agent probably had one conversation with Keith Jones and was like, oh, I'm going to be a rookie. Oh, fuck this. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I wanted to play Chuck Fletcher for a fool. And I wanted to sit out for a year. I was going to make the big media. He would have paid me $2-3 million. Then I'd play. The fans would erupt and beat. He obviously doesn't know Philly because they would have booed him out of the building if he would have did that. But that's what I feel that was his move. And he looks like a fool. And his camp bringing up is another thing I want to bring up. His camp bringing up, oh, he's receiving death threats. Like, that's the only thing you're going to say after you get traded to Anaheim? Like, that's your camp's just going to float that out there? That seems a little soft. It just seems a little soft. Oh, they're picking on me now because I got traded.
Yeah.
Nobody should get a death threat. No, if you're an,
no, not
if
at
you're
all.
An
no.
idiot Flyers fan and you're sending death threats to this idiot, troll him on Twitter. Shut up. Don't send death threats. Like, do what a normal person would do and troll him on Twitter.
Tease them and all that kind of stuff, but that's about it. One other thing we should probably mention.
Leave him alone. The death threat, but for his camp to throw that out there, it seemed a little soft to me.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to gain some sympathy back.
Yeah.
Matt, go to your point, because I will give Quitter Gauthier the floor. I do have some quotes from an interview he did for his position, which explained absolutely nothing.
Please.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, real quick, this is an Eric Lindros situation here. I wanted to make that very clear, too.
No,
Lindros, back in 92 or 91 when he was drafted, told Quebec expressly, I will not play for you because your owner is awful. Don't draft me.
And he was right.
And what happened? happened with the owner?
exactly. And what happened? They drafted him because they were fools and buffoons, and it showed in the whole trade when they were like involving the Rangers and us. Unfortunately, we won out that deal, and he obviously became one of the greatest Flyers ever. But I want to make that point really, really clear for people thinking, "Oh, is this similar to Lindros?" It's nowhere close. It's not even close to Lindros, especially given the fact that Gauthier was, oh my God, I love being a flyer. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He was like marking out over how much he wanted to be a flyer. Now all of a sudden he had a change of heart. So what happened?
The pick was already spent at that point.
Exactly.
Changed his mind.
Yeah.
And Lindros, by the way, was a generational player.
Yes.
Yeah.
This guy is.
Gauthier.
This guy's kind of okay.
This ain't Eric Lindros.
No, this ain't Eric Lindros by far.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll give you Gauthier's side of the story. The biggest thing I could say right now is I have to keep it to myself, my family, and my agent. It's been a long process. In the past handful of months of dealing with this, I don't think this is the right time to kind of discuss it. There might be one day where I kind of get into details on what happened. Right now, I want to keep it a private matter. It wasn't one specific reason why I asked for a trade. It was multiple reoccurring issues that I'd seen over the past year and a half, 2 years of being under the Flyers organization. It kind of discipline. It kind of hit me all at once, thinking I can't move forward with this and I really need to step up for myself and see what's best for my future. And that's what I did. And my future is I want to be free and frolic in the breeze.
not
play under structure and discipline and, you know, actually hockey knowledge being passed down and having to work for goals. Good heavens.
Why would you do a thing like that? That's terrible.
Hey, don't play in the East.
But this goes on. I mean, this is not telling us anything. And he could have told Briere and Jones and the Flyers what the actual reason was. And if it was truly a private matter, then Briere and Jones would have come out and said he didn't want to be a Flyer anymore. He told us why. We're respecting his wishes to keep it private.
Yeah, we're cool.
You know, so that's the end of it. And we would have been more accepting of that.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
But his unwillingness to even engage with, the names again, Briere, Leclerc, Patrick Sharp, these are not
Jones, Torts, like
Keith Jones. So not as much for the hockey, but
these are all hockey names. Like, these are guys that have been in the league for a long time. They know what a professional is to be.
Yeah.
To be against that.
They command respect.
Yeah, you just don't care about the sport. You just don't care about the NHL. He doesn't care about the franchise. He cares about his goal total. Good luck in Anaheim.
Because
they suck.
All of these guys that have been employed by the Flyers, every one of them, has either been to a cup final or won it. So if I'm Connor Gauthier.
Not necessarily with us.
But there's been success across the board.
There's been success.
Yes.
So if you're Gauthier, what the hell are you doing? Honestly.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's a message to the younger players. If you've got a problem, tell these guys up front. Honestly, just tell them and just say, you know what? Okay, I've done some thinking or whatever the case may be. I don't think it's a good fit. Could you please trade me? Okay, fine. We'll definitely do that. But for you to go silent.
I just realized Quitter must have made John's eye roll because he said, I can't.
Yes, he did.
I can't play for the Flyers.
Yeah.
Can't mean you don't want to.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Well, you know, it's
wise words.
DDP has, I know he stole this from somewhere else. I think it's Henry Ford or something, but he says,
DDP has stolen everything from everybody, and it's awesome.
Yeah. If you say you can or you say you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
So
he's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
That's true. That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of can't get things right, topic two.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
We're crapping on ESPN again. No, not ESPN Knutson, ESPN.
Ah.
Who apparently had to return 37 Emmys. And discipline their employees. I know, right?
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Well, so, according to the LA Times, ESPN returned dozens of 37. They had 37 in the title, dozens in the, I don't know. So they returned dozens of Emmys and all right, brief aside. So, I was on a case once, and an expert witness gave us a CV, and he said, He has over 23 patents.
Okay.
Well, he had 24 patents.
Oh, nice.
Why not just say 24 patents?
24. It would make,
or two dozen.
Right. But anyway, I just had to get that in there.
Yes. I digress. I digress.
All right, so ESPN.
Word vomit is the best thing in the world.
So ESPN has returned 37 Emmys and disciplined employees involved in a, get this, decades-long scheme to secure trophies for ineligible on-air personalities.
Oh, God, pick me. Pick me.
So they would submit fake names for consideration, and this is all according to the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, or NATAS. When
a never more appropriate acronym I've never heard more in my entire life than that right there.
When ESPN won an award and trophies were awarded to all names submitted, employees took the extra trophies and had them re-engraved with the names of on-air talent who were apparently ineligible. According to NatAss, quote, when brought to the attention of ESPN senior management, the network took steps to take responsibility for the actions of its personnel, to investigate thoroughly, and to course correct. These steps have included the return by ESPN of statuettes issued to fictitious individuals and commitments to implement further internal accountability and procedural changes at the network. So one particular example they give here, before I go to John, who I know is quivering with anticipation. College Game Day, we all know what that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
That scored 8 Emmys for Best Weekly Studio Show from 2008 to 2018. However, the broadcast personalities for that show until 2023 were prohibited by NatAss guidelines from inclusion in a credit list for the specific category. They were eligible for other Emmys, such as host or studio analyst, but a win for the show wouldn't land any statuettes for the on-air talent. So what happened was ESPN dodged the rule by including fabricated names listed as associate producers who happened to have the same initials as on-air talent.
Oh,
so
really?
The Corso became Leonard Cutamaran. I don't know. And then they would scrub the statuettes of the fake names per The Athletic and have the talent's real names engraved on the trophies. All right, John, the floor is yours. Go.
Oh my gosh.
37. This is 6,000,005. Yeah, 37 is on the very low end of these friggin' losers.
I need to say this.
This is very important. This is what you get when all you put on is SportsCenter, girls tennis, SportsCenter volleyball, SportsCenter. They're faking every way. Like this isn't shocking at all. All their Emmys should be pulled back because they're a fake sports organization at this point.
Yeah. They're clowns.
Yeah, they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything right.
Yeah.
The only thing they did right was hire Pat McAfee, but you can only put him on for an hour because he's annoying after that. It's the only good thing they did, but he's only good for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Trust me, in all aspects of his life, he's only good.
The moment they were bought out by Disney, though, guys, seriously.
Yeah, it fell apart.
They just lost their audience. Yeah.
I think they were going downhill before that, frankly.
It wasn't the ESPN we grew up.
No. It's funny. You said SportsCenter. That's when ESPN was good.
Yes.
Because the anchors on SportsCenter were actually good.
But that was
and they just ran the show all morning.
Yes, but that was that was okay. But what I'm saying is that was they started to get popularity from that. So that's all they did. They never created new program. They never did anything else. They just took good hosts, removed them because they left for certain reasons. You know, Keith Olbermann wanted to be a political analyst, which made no sense. He went that way.
It still doesn't.
Yeah, it still makes no sense to this day. But then they replaced them with just cookie cutter people. And look what they had to do to get Emmys. They had to fake shit. And they had to make stuff up. And they had to keep their lore of the glory days, which was only a couple years, when they actually had some good on-air talent that left and did other things because they were really good talent. ESPN is the organization.
Stuart Scott and Rich Eisen were ones that I remember.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So. Yeah. Yeah. But you saw what happened. John said cookie cutter.
Yeah.
So Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott. Well, no, Stuart Scott didn't leave. He was still there. But they tried to clone Stuart Scott.
Yes. Over, it was over
Stuart Scott clones. Just you need to come up with your own like signature catchphrase and repeat it 5 dozen times per show.
But that only
that only
worked for Stuart Scott because he was actually intelligent and actually funny. So he could pull that stuff off. Rich Eisen is actually talented, so he could pull off those things. Those cookie cutters couldn't. They were just They were just saying buzzwords like we were talking about earlier. It was
Everybody had to and I think that's so important for you guys, what you guys mentioned, because I think that's right. When you have Stuart Scott, a highly talented individual who was authentic and came across that way on the screen. I love that whenever he did an NFL highlight, whenever there was a, you know, a gigantic miscue, if it was a fumble or something, see what had happened was Frank dying of laughter. But the moment he was off the air, the moment, everything turned to crap and they tried to replace him. And it was like, you guys don't understand. You guys don't get it anymore. And then on top of that, everything started to get political at that organization.
Yeah.
Everything started to, you know, they were bringing in stuff that had no business on that sport, on that channel. None whatsoever.
Probably what has low
and
ratings.
Still doesn't to this day. Yeah. They wanted to make it a talk show format. And I'm sorry, you know, it's like that works on TV news channels. Fox News, CNN, whatever the case may be.
There.
They have their own channel.
It belongs there. It doesn't work.
My point is...
Right.
But my point is, like, you're a sports-oriented channel.
Sports.
Right? Yes. Show highlights. Talk about the game. Do whatever the case may be. But don't bring politics into it. I saw that with, like, Jamel Hill, and Jamel Hill's like, why moan and complain? Oh, well, we should bring him in. I'm like, sweetheart, no, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, seriously, just tell me what happened in the sporting world. Just let me know what happened. Who won the game?
That's what we want.
Yeah,
that's why we go to ESPN. If we want the news, we go to the news channel.
You
want to know what the score was?
Do you want to know what's one of the most high-rated things on a Monday morning that people watch? Brian Baldinger's Twitter. Because he breaks down actual film and he talks about key moments. It's one of the higher rated things that people watch now because they don't want to listen to four dudes and a girl with coffee talk about Patrick Mahomes' hairdo and whatever her name is and him, the tight end.
Yeah.
They don't want it. They wanna watch their team. They wanna see their offensive guard or center or tight end or wide receiver or quarterback make a play, and hey, I did remember that the same way when I was watching it, because that's what Berman and what the heck was Tom Jackson brought to us as children was actually watching highlights and learning the game. That's what Madden was about. That's what Summerall was about. Some of the other
Kurt Warner does the same thing too. Tom's boy, Kurt Warner.
I love Kurt Warner.
It pains me to admit, Troy Aikman does the same thing, man.
So true. So
he, you know, he'll break down an interception and be like, that was so-and-so's fault. And I'll be like, well, I thought that was Jalen's fault. And it's like, no, actually, if you look at it, he was supposed to do this and go this way. And instead he went this way and Jalen thought he was going to go this way.
Yeah, you want to be
the whole thing.
But that's the best part about good sports analysis is us as fans are supposed to react. But then I'm talking about our childhood, how we learn.
Yeah.
So we react.
Right.
But then we go to the source and then they explain it to us.
Yeah.
And then we don't react that way again when something happens, because then we learn and then we understand. Oh, well, it was too deep coverage. Okay, got it. Like, I understand why that happened now.
Well, you have analysts who you have a couple. You have a couple who you react, and then they go, this is what really happened. And you go, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But you also have other analysts who, like, oh, look at him splatter that guy's brains all over the field. That was a good hit. It's a good hit. It's like, well, how come he got that hit on him? You want to kind of explain how that occurred? You just want, oh, boom, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I actually agree with you. The politics and the talk show thing really is a symptom of the decline. But I think the issue is something we've talked about before. The underlying issue is spreading themselves too thin.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, so SportsCenter, ESPN back when it first started was just SportsCenter for 6 hours because they didn't have.
Well, and you also only had one channel. And then
as
we grew up, we got two, and then we got three, and then we got the Portes, and then we got college, and then we got random sports nobody ESPN wants news. To watch. And then I'm pretty sure ESPN had a curling network at one time.
Thought I would watch, though, Johnny.
ESPN News became the de facto SportsCenter on repeat.
So they couldn't put
SportsCenter on repeat on ESPN anymore, so they had to fill it with the garbage they have on now.
Which I thought was a good idea. ESPN News was cool at the time. Because I'm like, cool. Yeah. Maybe they'll put on minor league baseball. Sorry for me thinking this way. Maybe they'll put on minor league baseball games. Maybe they'll put on college hockey games. Maybe they'll put on all this. No, they didn't do that.
You're wrong.
They didn't do that.
No.
But wouldn't you expect that would be ESPN? Maybe I could watch some bowling at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because what else is on? You know what I mean? No, they didn't. We're not doing that. We're gonna do hit piece talk shows, and we're gonna have two dudes.
Yep.
One's gonna be white, one's gonna be black, and they're gonna yell at each other for 3 hours. Let's go. And that was their plan. Yeah. And it's terrible.
Yeah. And then in order to make up what were declining ratings, College Game Day, 37 Emmys have to be returned. And now there's a discipline. You know, the only guy says it's internal discipline. Don't do this again. Mm. Don't you dare do this again.
Well,
it's do it in another way that you don't get caught. That's the ESPN.
We will give ESPN's quote here because they were quoted in this article. Here's what they had to say. Mm-hmm. A spokesperson had to say.
Oh, boy.
Nasally. Hold on. Some members of our team were clearly wrong in submitting certain names that may go back to 1997 in Emmy categories where they were not eligible for recognition or statuettes. 1997. Good God. Wow. I was in high school.
Hey, real quick. It is 2024. Just for anybody in the original thing we're sending on ESPN. We are reading this from a 2024 article.
So it continues. This was a misguided attempt to recognize on-air individuals who were important members of our production team. Once current leadership was made aware, we apologized to NetS for violating guidelines and worked closely with them to completely overhaul our submission process to safeguard against anything like this happening again. So now they're going to hire some weirdo associate producers so they actually exist and then give their trophies to the on-air talent. That's what's
got another annoying word. What you just said, Steve, in regards to that. What was that? Oh, it just came.
Oh, there
left.
You go.
Oh, gosh darn it. Read that last quick sentence again.
Misguided attempt to recognize.
Misguided. What we were doing. Yeah, no shit. I mean, come
you
on.
You know what you were doing.
Doing?
You knew
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Give me a personal.
They could have got fake replicas.
Yes.
If you wanted to, just like, here you go. Here's a, you know, to honor
your
service.
Participation trophy.
Exactly.
This was a conditioned move by the office to make a decision to keep their on-air talent happy because they couldn't tell them that you're ineligible because we're a shitty organization and we don't know how to actually file with NetS. To get you an Emmy, because what you threw up on TV, bro, doesn't count as an Emmy. I'm sorry.
Hey, we've got a website.
We do.
It's called twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. Go there. Because I said so.
Yeah. And there's stuff and stuff and things, and you can look at old episodes and stuff.
Well,
and
yeah. There's more than just stuff. I mean, we got like old episodes. We got bios of everybody, right? I mean, all that kind of stuff.
If you email us, we'll send you a middle finger picture.
John, come on, Johnny. Come on, John. We got to treat our listeners better than that.
Yeah.
Maybe they want it. Let's get an email. I don't know.
Well, if you subscribe at the website, you can be notified when a new episode is posted to the website, and you can watch it directly from there instead of having to go to YouTube and look us up.
There you go.
That's one good thing you can do while you're there.
Absolutely.
Also, if you like to listen to us while you're driving or, you know, because you shouldn't be watching us while you're driving.
Oh, no. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Against that.
But if you are, thank you, but don't do that.
Oh my God!
Don't do that. We're advised by our lawyers to inform you to not.
But thank you, for even trying.
But thank you. But if you like to, if you prefer to listen to us, you can go to our website and find different places where you can catch our podcast.
That's right.
And if none of those are agreeable or amenable to you, we also have our RSS feed. You plug that in. Use whatever the hell you want to, weirdo. So that's all I got to say.
And also, please send us an email and tell us where you're listening to, so we can maybe get out on that too. So then you don't have to do all that work. We'll do it for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I could do that.
There you go.
Yeah, that's fine. Or just send us an email and tell us whether you like the show. You know, we'd love to hear from our listeners and viewers.
Or yell at Matt for that, 2,500. Views. Somebody yelled at Matt for his opinion.
I'm telling you, Johnny, the coin flip, get it out of the NFL. It's a red.
I just want to let that dude know, bro, you're the only one.
The more I think about it, do you actually have a home field advantage in the NFL?
I don't think so.
Because
I don't think you do.
Because the visitor gets to pick the coin.
And that
always
bothered me. Like, why would a visitor come into your house and say, you know what? Okay, I want the choice. To kick, the receiver kick. Excuse me, you're the host.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
I'm hosting you. You're traveling all this way, all right? I'll dictate to you what you're going to do for me.
You'll eat sugar cookies and not
that's right.
bacon.
I mean, the NHL has a real home ice advantage because you get the last chance.
Exactly.
Okay. MLB has obviously a home field advantage because you get to bat last. That's an advantage. Yep. NBA, I don't think there's a home court advantage.
Not really.
I don't see what rule
it's
is good for home
teams. It's just who's the best players. Really,
yeah.
Definitely.
And also when they're in doubt, they just jump the ball. So that is weird.
Right, exactly. The NFL, I don't know what the home field advantage is because the visitor gets to pick for the coin. So it's weird.
If you're Patrick Mahomes, there's a clear home field advantage. Everybody else, I don't think there is anything. Tom left, so we can't involve him anymore.
That's true. Yeah. That's fun.
All right. Weird file, topic 3.
Yeah, man.
Guys, John's bringing the flesh here.
Not only weird, but a creepy file.
It is definitely creepy.
Yeah, I would say.
It's a little creepy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York Post, so watch out for typos.
Look out.
10-foot-tall strange beings seen traversing Brazilian island as alien rumors swirl. And we're going to put the video down here so you can see it. This video shows two giant human-like creatures strolling along the foothills of a small Brazilian island. One of the 10-foot-tall beings appears to take in the sights of Ilha do Mel, an island 2 miles off the coast of southeast of Brazil, as another stands closely by. Some viewers can be overheard saying some things in Portuguese, but the New York Post was nice to us to have a translator do that. One of the persons say it's too big to be a person. Another says, look at the way he moves. It's really weird. Look at the size of those pasts. It's very fast. I don't know what pasts are. Probably a New York Post type.
Probably.
then it was posted on Instagram, gained more traction. The way they move reminds a lot of the Men in Black critters, said one user. For me, it's enough to see the speed with which this creature goes down the hill. Anyone who has done trails on hills like this knows that you don't go down a hill like this in 1 to 2 minutes. One thing I do know, I will never step there again. I will admit it was a little bit creepy watching this video.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
John, you brought it to us. What say you?
I literally, it's what a three-year-old would draw if they were like, look, this is daddy, because it looks so misproportioned. The arms are really, from that video, the arms are really long, the legs look really long, and the torso looks really short. So it's a weird-looking human on the surface. If we needed an explanation for it, yeah, it is definitely, it's definitely weird. I don't know... I don't know why, how they shot it, and they're not like close to that. Maybe that is just a individual island where, you know, weird human guy lives with said weird shady character in the back, because you really didn't get a good look at that, whether it was like other weird guy, but you couldn't really see what he looked like. There's a lot of these sightings recently. I don't know.
I'm the same way, Johnny. I'm with you.
I just don't know
what that is. All I do know is that it looks really weird, really
it's
funky.
Not a Bigfoot.
And
I'll tell you that.
It's not Bigfoot. No. No, because we've got that problem up here. But for them to pick, like, well, Brazil's not that bad in terms of like a spot, I guess, if you're going to visit, if you're an alien.
Oh, yeah.
I would think. I mean, it's a nice southern climate, you know.
Oh,
you
get just some went nice alien.
Yeah, that's a shocker. Matt's usually the most against that theory.
I'm very skeptical, of course. Like, I'm always skeptical, guys. I'm always questioning.
I understand
what these things are. And
oh yeah, totally.
I have no idea what this is. To be perfectly honest, I want that investigated, and I want it. Well, I don't know what I want.
Immediately.
Yeah,
eradicated
exactly.
Immediately.
I mean, I just looking at the video, I mean, it reminds me of one of those, you know, when you go to the Halloween store and they have the things that move when you step on the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a really tall one. Yeah. At some point, he looks like he's pulling something out of his ass. I don't know.
I don't know if it's 10 feet tall. I think they're making that up with where they're shooting it from. Because they're shooting it a little lower, so... It could be a wacky inflatable tube, man, but
yeah,
he's not doing enough of this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Think that's what it is. It's very thin. I think the height was guesstimated based on probably somebody knows the heights of the shrubs that are on the island,
and that makes sense.
And then you know, use that to kind of proportion it. Although, depending on the angle,
yeah,
who knows?
Exactly. You could.
And you're looking up at it, so
yeah, they're very they look very thin. The limbs are very thin.
Yes.
And it's the general movement is also not exactly what you would.
It's not human.
See with a human being.
That is not exactly. There's no human movement to that. That is the weird part. It was more wacky inflatable tube man / Matt said alien.
Matt said alien.
Blame it on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt said alien.
Could be.
I don't know. I don't know, guys.
This one stands taller than the wolf man at the Amarillo Zoo. So
that's true.
He definitely stands a little bit better. So
that's absolutely true. I'm wondering, because part of the video it then kind of jumps. And the dude, the tall dude who pulls the probe out of his ass disappears. So we don't really know what happened to him. I really wish the person taking this video would have done a better job.
Maybe weird, shady guy in the corner was just projecting him. And that's what you noticed him pulling maybe he was pulling him back. And maybe, because he looked semi-normal height, although not
true.
Not
true.
He kind of, looked like the Rock at the same time. Not the Rock, the idiot actor guy. I mean, the Rock that was next to him.
Got it. Yeah.
Actually, now I'm just looking at it again. Where after it jumps, and it's hard to see, maybe because of my Macho Man glasses.
Yeah, most likely.
Is that tall dude in the front, is he descending the hill at that point?
I think so.
Did I miss that?
I think he is descending the hill. That was covered in the article that he descended the hill faster than any human being on the planet, apparently.
Yeah.
Because of the jump, I assumed he went down the other way. So I must have been. I'll have to look at it again to see. But because I didn't see him, just because he's a shady dude. So it's hard to see in the dark shrubbery.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No, this one's weird. This one is definitely weird. That's why we picked it for the weird foul. Spoiler alert.
Sorry. That's freaked out. I can see this. That is freaked out.
It is really bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Yeah. I don't know what to say. It's kind of just like, huh.
You were very skeptical when we did the one about the people on the train who saw the Bigfoot. Yep.
Yeah.
John was like immediately, that's a Bigfoot. I'm sold. And you were completely the opposite.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Like, it's the old Lord of the Rings movie, the Two Towers, when I forget the name of the tree, but they go after
Treebeard.
Treebeard. Yeah. Thank you.
Very original.
Thank you, J.R.R. Tolkien. Right? I mean, at the other day.
He comes up with these elaborate names for everybody else, and he's Treebeard. Like, is a tree with a beard. Yeah, fucking Treebeard.
It kind of reminds me of that, almost. You know, he's just lumbering around, and then he goes down the hill really, really quickly. But, I mean...
Yeah, kind of.
You know, it has that kind of vibe to it, I guess. But this one, yeah, officially still skeptical, but I don't know what the hell that is. And I want to investigate it immediately, if not sooner.
Well, you hear that, Brazil? We know you have listeners. We have listeners.
That's true. So.
Yeah.
Take care of this immediately,
if not sooner.
I looked at the video again, and I do see a descending figure.
Okay.
Oh.
Vaguely. I took my glasses off to look, but...
So he's running down the hill at Mach 54.
He didn't seem to me to be running.
No.
But I really don't know what I'm looking at. Cool. So we're pulling our resources. We're sending Matt down to Brazil to investigate. Yeah. He's going to be on location next
week. He's leaving immediately.
If not sooner, right?
There will be an alien autopsy in episode 173.
we'll finally know what it actually is inside of an alien. Yes. I will bring that to you.
Yeah, hopefully you got that you got that flintlock gun.
Hey. Maybe I'll have to make a stop in Virginia before I go down. So, you know.
Well, it's on the way.
Yeah, it's on the way. Yeah.
This will be the 2024 edition of the Jeffrey Epstein document reveal. Oh, wait, that was in 2024.
Yeah, that's right.
This will be the January 20th edition of...
This will be more compelling than the January 6th trial. There you go.
Probably more entertaining, too. You never know, Johnny. I mean, you know, that kind of a deal. So.
Well, Matt in an autopsy room, I think that would be quite entertaining.
It would be, yeah.
It would be.
Hey, guys, look at this.
I don't know what this is, but it's kind of gooey. This is looks like an organ of some kind.
What's this radiating?
This seems to be taking over my hand. Oh, dear Lord. next thing you know,
that'll be the next cast of person for Venom 47. He'll finally be in a Marvel movie.
Very
sweet.
Turning the Marvel franchise around.
Yes.
Woo-hoo! Something like that, I guess.
Marvel.
Yeah.
Try DC, damn it. All right, anyway. That was last week. This week, we have idiots. Topic 4.
Yeah.
What?
All right. So I came across a video this week on Twitter, or X for you squares.
X.
Boo, Twitter. So Twitter, you have a tweet.
Yeah.
X, what do you do? X?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm
X-ing.
That's stupid. That's stupid. I'm sorry. I'm still calling it Twitter.
Elon Musk is smart, but he's not.
When it comes to branding.
He just named it after the company he already had that failed with the same name. He's got a problem. He's got a problem with accent.
Kind of needs to go to marketing 101. Just saying. You know, that kind of
I would say.
He doesn't have time for that. Oh, by the way, I do drive past his Austin Tesla factory, and I did see up close and personal the truck that he's been showing online.
That's
damn. Really? That thing is beautiful. Like, really? With the human eye, looks like shit. Like, when you're looking at it online, when you see, oh, man, the lines are, it looked clean. It is really nice looking. Yeah.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to look at it while you're charging it for an hour.
Seven, eight. I mean, that thing. It beat a Ferrari while towing a Ferrari? That thing's going to have to charge for 3 days.
Yeah, really? That's for damn
That's
sure.
True.
I'll gas up the Ferrari I'll circle it for fucking 3 days.
Each charging station will need its own nuclear power plant to generate the electricity it needs.
The 1.21 gigawatts.
But in any event, we digress look wise.
Right. Looks great.
There you go. Okay, well, there you go. Okay, speaking of not looking great, so this video comes up. And Matt, you said this woman was the head of Toronto Airport.
CEO of the Canadian
at the airport
in Toronto.
Yep. Okay. So there she is answering questions from the media, including about, hey, you know, you're going to do something about all the delays running through your airport. And she starts spouting off about how, well, you know, if you look at the numbers, we've actually doubled improvement on our on-time efficiency. And meanwhile, the cameraman who scores from Two Noobs pans up to the arrivals and departures sign flashing above this woman, showing innumerable delays and cancellations of flights. There were more delayed flights on that board than there were on time.
And there were two canceled.
Yeah. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, Steve.
Don't worry.
We've pay no attention to the
no
man behind the curtain.
What's happening now? We're getting back.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. And I guess we wanted to talk about why this always seems to be a new trend, right?
Why do people think that people are idiots? Yeah. But why do people think that smart people aren't going to catch on to the lies?
Because they think they're behind
the lies.
They think they're behind this, and they're not going to pay attention to it. So they try to sneak these things past. That's what they do. They all do it. All the politicians that are doing the election. You have governors and mayors alike all across. How many stories have we told on Two Noobs about people just flat out, they just lie to you in a press conference. They're like, all right, that job's done. All right, I can go back to my mansion and do whatever I need to do.
Right.
Because whether they bought it or not, it doesn't matter. Cuomo was the best at it. Cuomo lied straight to your face and then go right back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, heck, even George W. Bush, mission accomplished, right? I mean, he had that hell banner. And the mission was not accomplished. Not even close. You know, it took years for that to be done.
Clinton
in Iraq.
Flat out walked out and said, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman. We can absolutely confirm in 2024 it was that and a lot more.
I think it's just this is a really good thought piece, guys, because it the mind can just create something that, okay, I do not agree with that particular fact. One of the greatest founding fathers in history of the country, John Adams, said facts are stubborn things, and he's exactly right, because when a fact comes across, we don't want it for it to be true. We would love for it to be false. That's just the bottom line. And when you look at something like someone like in a Toronto airport telling you, oh, we are getting better, oh, we're doing great, oh, the blah, 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 and that cameraman pans up and it's nothing but cancellations and delays, you know for a fact that that woman is straight up lying and making up shit on the fly. And it's just, you just have to shake your head and just go like, why are you even in charge? Why are you even in charge at that point? Like, if you can't see what is in front of you, in this case, what's above you, and all these people are just whining and complaining about, you know, all these delays and cancellations, I'm like, you're not seeing the forest through the trees.
I think there's a problem that, yes, the mind will convince you, and it seems more often than not now that people are just refusing to believe that what they perceive may not actually be the truth. But One thing I learned, interestingly, through my job, I've been involved in a couple of mock jury trials where, you know, we take our case, we take the opponent's case, we put them on in front of people we hire off the street to be able to sit and listen to the arguments and see what they think. And it's remarkable, even if you've done something wrong, if you are at least upfront and honest about it, they will give you more slack than if you try to hide something.
Yeah.
If this CEO would have said,
it says a lot.
I know we have cancellations going on. And we've got these delays. We are working on it. We're trying to fix it. You know, if she could have come out and said that, the cameraman wouldn't have to pan up and point out what she's doing wrong.
Yeah.
People stick to like talking points instead of actually thinking for themselves and trying to be honest and authentic. A perfect example of that is the knuckleheads who I believe at this point now have all resigned from Harvard and Penn, yeah, and whatever the third one was, who went before Congress.
Yeah.
And instead of authentically answering questions and trying to be honest and upfront and say the right things, they stuck to something that some lawyer or PR person put in front of their face and said, don't deviate from this.
Yeah.
Not realizing you're going to look like a jackass.
Yeah. That's such a great point.
My question to add is, do they believe, I'm talking about the upper people that are writing these speeches for these people, do they believe that it's just better to lie because no one's going to remember? Like, I feel that that's the best advice that advertising companies are giving at this point. Like, oh, well, just smooth it over. No one's going to remember this in 6 months anyway. So sure. why take the time? Why take the energy to be like, oh, well, we're almost there. We're almost there. It's almost like the people that are speaking out, like the Penn CEO, this lady, congressmen and congresswomen across the United States, they almost have bought into this BS thought of, I'd rather just lie to you because you don't care about me and I can go on with my life than just sitting down and saying the truth will set you free. It literally will.
It will set me three,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, three. Sorry. I tripped over my own tongue. But we've all had moments in our lives where we had to be truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well.
Yeah.
And we've all had times where we weren't truthful and it didn't work out well.
It made it worse. It worse, Johnny.
Why is this? Because it's not the general public that is doing this at all.
Mm-mm.
It's this one section of people. Let's call them the ruling class. Why do they believe they're just blow smoke up someone's ass and everything is fine for them?
That is a great question. I don't know if there is ever going to be an answer to it other than the fact that they love power and they want to keep themselves in power. I think there is an underlying motivation in that regard.
Exactly.
And so
totally
they'll say
absolutely.
Totally anything,
agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think part of telling the truth too is being vulnerable. You know,
true.
C.S. Lewis once said to love someone is to be vulnerable. And that for a lot of people is very, very difficult. It's very hard.
Oh, hell yeah.
But he's exactly right. It's an exact right quote because it means that if you are honest and sincere, you're being authentic already. Whereas if you're lying through your teeth and you keep doing it, guys, we've seen it. We've experienced it with a guy that played hockey with us, right? I mean, years ago, we're talking about somebody that was lying through his teeth every single day. And it didn't until it finally the truth came out and he was essentially arrested for stealing $40,000 out of two youth sports organizations. And you guys know who I'm talking about. We're not going to mention him on the podcast.
No, there's no need. Yeah, yeah.
And he was just lying through his teeth. He just kept doing it. He just could not bring himself to finally settling down and say, you know what? I have to tell the truth. I have to come forward in order for this to, you know, for my conscience to be clear, my mind to be right, my heart to be okay. Because I think the more you lie, the worse everything gets. The worse everything gets. Sorry to go a long diatribe.
I love that you did that because that something yeah. I said to my kids a long time ago. I was going through a tough time after my divorce. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to my kids, don't ever break your own heart because that's how you're going to get into trouble. And I don't exactly know what that means still to this day, but it changed me in a way and my relationship with them changed because it was, I learned something and I was able to explain it. And it was, I don't want to be a fake representation of who I am. I just want to be me. And yeah. I don't think that class of people that want power even understand how to be human.
No.
No. Well, the scary part to me is that, you know, it's one thing when you're lying, when you know something that happened behind closed doors between two people. You know, that lie is likely to remain safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
As unfortunate as it is. But you have people now who are coming out like this person in the video.
Yeah.
They're lying to you when the facts completely opposite are right there behind them.
Yes.
So the scary part to me is people are perpetuating lies in the face of the facts that are already available for people to be checking on this stuff. And it just doesn't seem to faze them whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's
they have to make themselves try and look as good as possible. They can't, as Matt says, be vulnerable and accept, hey, you know, we know we have issues at this airport. We're trying to figure out what we need to do to work on, whether it's technology, whether it's people, whatever it is, we're working through it. And we promise you it will get better. We are doing our best.
Nobody would have scoffed at that at all. That would have been the perfect press conference.
No.
People would have still bought into their airline. Now, this happened, what, 2 years ago? Almost 2 years ago?
This is July of last year.
Oh, it's July of last year.
Okay.
We can't you know, break them down exactly. But what I'm saying is if someone would come out, just what Steve said, in that airline, people would still be flying that airline today and they'd be growing with the company because they lower the rates a little bit. They're trying to be a part of the community. But now no one feels that they're getting their value because of that one lie. That one, it all changed, except for it didn't.
One thing that really encourages me, guys, I don't know if you've seen this in your readings, but I have come across a couple of different articles here and there where the Gen Zers, the millennials, they're craving authenticity. They want people to be authentic. They don't want this phoniness. The CEO that comes up and say that everything is great while behind the scenes, everything is shit. They want the truth to be told.
I think that it goes on to us as Gen Xers too.
Yes.
That is something that we crave big time. I get a lot of, and I'm not trying to be boastful at all, but I train a lot.
Yeah.
And I train younger people a lot. And the one comment I get at the end of the training always is, thank you for shooting me straight. Like, thank you for, you know, not, you know, puffing me up.
Yep.
It's something I do consciously because why would you lie to someone and let them fail? That would be a terrible idea. I just think that would be
doesn't
a terrible.
Doesn't bode well for you. Doesn't bode well for the company.
Yeah, it doesn't do good for anybody. That's like the
anybody.
But I feel that's what they do. Like, that's what we see on the TV. We see that act all the time is they lie to you. Oh, you're fine. You're great. You're going to be awesome. And then you fail as a mentor. They fail as a person. And then the company fails because that person didn't succeed like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either, Johnny. Right on the money, though, with your points. And I think all three of us here on this podcast really, we love the truth, even though sometimes it's like, we don't want to sometimes have to deal with it, but it's better to deal with it as opposed to running away from it and lying about it. That's totally separate.
Yes.
And I love the fact, going back to what I was saying originally, with the millennials and the Gen Zers that are out there craving this stuff, keep it up. Keep up and demand it. Demand it from anybody. I don't care who it is, whether it's in politics, sports, media, whatever the case may be, demand it. Absolutely demand authenticity. That's what you deserve, and that's what you want, and that's a really, really good thing. Keep that up. That's what would be my encouragement.
I think that circles back to topic one.
Yes.
Yep.
With Gauthier. Yes, great point.
The Flyers front office was forthright and transparent, whereas the prior regime probably would have been cloak and dagger and
anything
all kinds
under
of
the rug. Yeah, and they would we'll take care of this all of a sudden. Then you hear the rumors, and then you get the media involved, and it's
and then we're getting a 6th-round pick
exactly
for the guy,
exactly. I learned a long time ago, and let's finish it on this. I heard this quote 10-15 years ago: iron sharpens iron. And I've always looked to that when I wanted to train and I wanted to be better. I've always who's better than me? I want to work with him. I want to work with that guy. I want to go there. That's always, after I heard that for the first time, it was like, it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. And it's been the way that I conduct my professional life now, because I don't want the easy road. I want the hardest road, because that'll only make you better. And that is something Cutter, sorry, sir, you're not built like that.
William. Yeah.
You're not built, and neither is
iron
ESPN.
Iron sharpening iron is hurtful, but at the same time, boy, you're sharp, aren't you? Right? At the end of the day, Johnny. So totally agree.
You try.
Totally agree. I'm well said.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I learned a saying just a little while ago that the truth will set you free.
Yes.
So I'll carry that with three.
I only got two of them now.
Damn. Love it.
Well, on that lovely moment, we will conclude episode 172 of Two Noobs Talking. 3, 2, 1. By the time you hear this, we may already be covered in snow up here in Pennsylvania, but we are looking forward to potential snowfall and significant amounts of it.
Hopefully,
we
have an Eagles win.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah,
I'm not very optimistic about that. We'll see.
Yeah. Eagles win, me in 60-degree weather, you guys under snow. That's what you'll be saying when you're listening to the show next.
So episode 173, we may have, more likely than not, an Eagles postmortem of the season, but we'll see. If we could put it off for another week, so
yes,
exactly.
But until then, ooh yeah, dig it.
Hey everyone, thank you for spending time with us here at Two Noobs Talking. If you want more episodes of Two Noobs, our entire catalog of our podcasts are available here on our YouTube channel, or you could search for us out on your favorite podcast listening platforms, such as Apple, Google, and Samsung Podcasts, along with YouTube Music and iHeartRadio, among others. Hey, while you're there, would you mind leaving us with a 5-star review? Have a great week, and we'll see you again next week with another great episode of Two Noobs Talking. Take care.